Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here this morning as we worship the Lord through song. Beautiful, beautiful song. Calvary, thank you, Lord, for Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for what you did for us on Calvary and what you do for us every day. Amen. What an honor and privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord this morning to study his word that lasts through all generations. Amen. Turn, if you will, to the book of 2 Samuel. The second book of Samuel. I want to read a few verses there. As the Lord has been dealing with me this week about Ziklag, a place of pain. We just celebrated Easter. And Easter's not for those of us that love him and serve him. It's not just a one-time event. It's an every week event. But as you read and study about what our Lord did, one of the things the Bible says he bore in his body, stripes on his back. He bore. That's really been impressed on me as I've been studying that, because we serve a God today that understands your pain. We're living in a time where many, many of us are affected in some way with some type of pain. If you think back in your life right now, a time in your life when you encountered pain, it will forever stick out in your mind. You may be in that place right now, but it's in those times that we don't really understand, but it's also a time when we are tempted to quit. Ziklag was a place that David was tempted to quit. He was a man after God's own heart. No other person in the Word had credentials like that given from God, a man after his own heart. But as we look into his life and reveal, he was a mighty warrior, a champion, but it was a man who knew what it was to go through pain. We live in a day now where many of you are going through things in your life that some days are just overwhelming. We don't understand it. We're tempted to be confused. And we just don't understand. Why do good things happen to bad people? We live in a world that we forget sometimes that is cursed. And all of us are affected in some way with pain. And all of us are affected in some way to quit. All of us are affected in some way to give up. Now we know that David was a man that God had his hand on him. So we look here in the second division of Samuel, beginning of verse 1, chapter 1. That came to pass after the death of Saul, when David returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag. And it came to pass on the third day that, behold, it came out, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent, and earth was upon his head. And so it was, when he came to David, he fell to the earth and did obeisance. And David said unto him, from whence comest thou? And he said unto him, out of the camp of Israel, and I escaped. So this man is in severe stress. And David said unto him, how went the matter, I pray thee? Tell me. And he answered, that the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan, the son, are dead also. I want to pause there just a minute, because Saul was David's best friend. How many of you got best friends today? You know you love them. They're just a special bond. Can you imagine getting news that your best friend? And David said unto the young man that told him, how knowest that Saul and Jonathan are dead? And the young man told him, said, as it happened by chance upon Mount Gilead, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear or his sword, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. They were in severe battle, and Saul, who was the king, is in such distress, he takes his own sword and he leans on it. And when he had looked behind him and saw me, he called unto me and I answered, "Here am I." And he said, "Who art thou?" And I answered him, "I'm an Amalekite." And he said to me again, "Stand, I pray thee, upon me and slay me. For anguish has come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me." And really what he's saying there is, I'm half dead, I'm half alive, I can't do this anymore. "So I stood upon him and slew him, because I am sure that he could not live and that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was upon his arm, and have brought them hit to you, my Lord." Well, there's a lot going on in this story right here. And David took hold of his clothes and just ripped them, because the pain had just come over him so strong. And the next verse said they mourned and wept and fasted. They lost their appetite. Have you ever been hurt so bad you just lose your appetite? Have you ever been going through something that food was the farthest thing from your mind at that time? Whew. His heart was broken. Now here's a man, you got to understand, now this right here shows the character of David, because I want you to understand, first of all, how do we deal with the place of pain in our life? When we deal with the place of pain, there's no doubt that God uses David to be an example, because David represents all against all odds. You got to understand, go all the way back to his life. He's the eighth son of Jesse. He is what we call a rejected son. You know the story as well as I do, when they were going to anoint a king and his father brings in all the sons. Pain has a sly way. You got to understand that Satan uses pain and discomfort and misunderstanding to accomplish his goals. His number one goal is to separate you from God and separate you from everybody else, so he brings pain upon your life. David, to his family, was worthless. Can you imagine going into a restaurant and all your family is sitting there at a table and everybody's been invited to eat but you? Would that break your heart? You know the story of how he was just forgotten and just forsaken, but you know what? God anointed a rejected son. Amen. God loves us when we are going through pain. But as we begin to deal with pain, I want you to first of all understand pain has to be dealt with courage. Out of your pain develops who you really are. There's something about pain that will cause you to check yourself. You got to understand now, David was a man of character. Greatness does not mean everything goes your way. Most men that have become great have unsurmountable odds that they deal with. Have you ever had them days that you're just doing your best to live right for God and all hell is coming against you and you do not understand? Is anybody in here this morning ever been tempted to quit? Has anybody in here ever been discouraged to the point that you feel like if one more thing happens to me, I'm going to lose it all? It's during those times that we are building courage. You say, what do you mean? We build courage out of discouragement. Now that don't even sound right. But think about it. When you are tempted to quit, there's something inside of you that says, hold on. Amen? You know that little voice that says, don't go to church, don't read your Bible, don't do anything, but you still come to church, you still keep going, but you don't understand. David gets up in the morning, and all of a sudden his whole world turns against him, because one thing David had learned to reverence and give God the praise. Courage is a part of your everyday life, and God has called us in this latter day to minister to people who are hurting. But in order for you to minister to somebody that's hurting, it's going to take unsurmountable courage from you. David sees a man come in. This man looks rough. He's got dirt all over him. He's been in the battle. His clothes are ripped. And David, in essence, begins to talk to him and says, "What's going on with you?" And he begins to tell him about the battle, and that this one's losing and that one's losing. We've lost this life and lost that life. Have you ever had them days that before you could get through one thing, there was another? If it's not one thing, it's another. You ever said that? If it's not one thing, it's another. It's during those times when we are tempted to the point that we feel like we're just about to lose it, that there's an omnipresence of God that surrounds us and takes care of us when we don't even know He's taking care of us. One thing that David had learned early in life, to worship God, and that God was real, and that God would sustain you and take care of you. You see, David knew what it was to be alone. He knew what it was to be on the hillside raising the sheep and shepherding the sheep, and the bears would come and the lions would come, and he made testimony there were times when they came to attack the flock, and I destroyed them with my own hands. It's during times of courage that you will be stronger than you think you are. Is anybody here this morning, here today, after things you've been through, and when you were going through them, you didn't even know if you'd be here today? Does that make sense? Amen. Can I get any witness right here? Amen. Can I get a witness? You're here, and you want to know why you're here? Because you are a powerful human being. You say, "Well, I don't feel powerful." That's the key. It's not about your feeling. It's not about who you are. It's about who He is. Because you've got to understand, when you're in your place of pain, we serve a God that does not walk away from us when we are hurting, but He comes in the midst of us. You see, He's a fourth man in the fire. David begins to hear about all these catastrophes, and then it comes home. What do you do when the pain you hear abroad comes home? Saul and Jonathan are dead. David loved Jonathan like a brother. They were close. They fellowshiped with one another. They loved one another. What do you do when the ones that you love are affected to the point that it brings pain to your life? I want to tell you, in times like that, you don't have a 1-2-3 answer, do you? Those are times when you have to lean on God. So when all of this anguish came to David, what's the next thing he did? He did what he'd always learned how to do. He went back to God in a time of prayer and fasting and fellowship with God. "God, I'm going to have you." It takes courage. Number one, it takes courage to stand. It takes courage to stand and not give up. Because I want to tell you, when you're going through your place of pain, you're going to hear all kind of voices, and you're going to hear all kind of things saying, "Just give up, just quit, just give up, just give up, just give up." But there's going to be something inside of you that rises and said, "I can't give up, I can't quit, I cannot stop." Amen. You want to know why? Because the pain that you went through, or the pain that you're going through, listen to this now, somebody's going to need what you went through. One of the worst things that's ever happened to the body of Christ is selfishness. I want to tell you, God is ministering here this morning. This message is for somebody. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I know this week through prayer that God has a word for somebody this morning. This is for somebody. You've been tempted to quit. You've been tempted to give up. But God is saying there's more who need you than you understand. And David just rips his clothes and he fasts and he prays and he calls on God. Courage. We're living in a day where everything goes. We're living in a day where just everybody runs with the crowd and runs with whatever's popular. Listen to me now. Whatever everybody else is doing, then that's what we're going to do. But it takes real courage to stand against the current and say, this is the way God wants to go, and that's the way I'm going to go. Next thing. It takes courage to pay the price. God has called you to make a difference. David knew he was anointed. Saul was anointed. And David reverenced the anointing. You got to understand this. Get this part right here. Boy, I feel God in this place today. You know, sometimes God comes as a still, small voice. And I feel that still, small voice this morning. He's speaking to somebody. You've been tempted to quit. You've been tempted to say, what I do don't matter. Nobody understands. Nobody even sees what I do. Nobody even cares what I do. You know what? That's okay. Nobody is not who you're doing it for. It's somebody, and his name is God. Amen. And as long as you do it for him, you're going to affect somebody's life. David knew what it was to reverence God, even though he felt like he was a nobody. God uses nobodies to make them somebody. God uses nobodies to minister to somebody. You feel like you're a nobody, but the things you've been through have not been in vain. They are valuable lessons that somebody needs. Are you hearing me this morning? Do you feel that anointing? Do you feel the great I am in this place this morning ministering to people? Don't get wrapped up in yourself. David could have stopped right where he was as a shepherd boy and said, can you imagine my own daddy telling them that they don't have another son? I guess I'm nobody. But David knew that he was somebody. It takes real courage to pay the price. Because to pay the price, listen. To pay the price means you got to go against the odds. To pay the price means you got to go further than anybody else would. Now you know the story of David and Saul. Can you give me about another hour? Amen. Somebody just woke up. What did he say? Amen. David was anointed. I love David. After the ceremony, he goes back to the field and takes care of the sheep. It takes courage to stand. It takes courage to pay the price. It takes courage, get this part right here. If you don't get anything, get this, to be stable. It takes courage to be stable because your flesh will say, what is the use? Why don't you give up? Everybody else has. You give up. Is anybody getting this morning? But if everybody gives up, who will be the leaders? If it were not for God, America would be a dump. It would be a bankrupt place. It would be nothing if it were not for God, because we don't have no leaders. Amen? If it were not for God, our strength is nothing, because we got people who want to be like everybody else, and God don't need you to be like everybody else. He wants you to be who you are. You don't have to wear your hair like everybody else. You don't have to dress like everybody else. You don't have to look like everybody else. You don't have to be like everybody else. You want to know why? You are who you are. Look at the one beside him and say, I am who I am and I'm proud of it. Amen. Amen. David could have had bitterness in his heart. Oh, it takes courage to pay the price. Because when you're paying the price, you're going to hear the voice of bitterness and say, you deserve to be angry. You deserve to get an attitude. You deserve, because think of what was done to you. Amen? Has anybody ever been bitter? You ever been bitter? Just hate the world. Get up and hate the sun because it's shining, and when it goes down, hate the moon because it's shining. Just hate the world. And you know what bitterness is? It is that subtle tool of the enemy. Sort of like our children's moment today. Those beautiful things that come in, but yet there's the poison ivies and the other things that grow among the beautiful things that you got to be aware of. You see, there's things growing in our lives that we got to be aware of, because it's going to take. David could have been bitter, but David has killed his, Saul has killed his thousands, but David is 10,000s. And all of a sudden, Saul gets jealous. Jealousy is a terrible thing. Amen. It's a terrible thing. And he gets jealous. And from that moment, he starts hating David. And from that moment, do you know most of the Psalms were written when David was running for his life from Saul? Did you know that? The book of Psalms? Most of them were written when he was in caves and hiding out because Saul was trying to kill him. And there were times when David could have killed him because David was a warrior. Stay with me a few more minutes now, but this is getting good. There were times when he cut the pieces of Saul's clothes off and handed it to him and said, you remembered it? Where'd you get that? I could have killed you. But he reverenced God. I know you've been done wrong. I know you've been lied about. I know you've been hurt. I know your heart has been ripped out of you to the point that you lost your appetite because people don't care. But God does. Please keep this in mind. This is for somebody. Oh, I'm telling you something. This is more of a prophetic word than it is a preaching word this morning. You know why? Because somebody needs you. I know you're focused right now on all them that have done you wrong. I know that it's easy to focus on that, but somebody needs you. David could have been bitter. But he said, if I get bitter, I'll never get better. Courage to pay the price. And the first price you got to pay, get this, is you got to die to what's right. What do you mean by that? You're not always going to be treated right. You're not always going to be treated fair. It's not fair. Have you ever been in that attitude? It's not fair. And you're exactly right. It is not fair for the things they said about you. It is not fair for what they've done to you. It is absolutely not fair. The fight of faith is not always fair. You know, I'm old school. I know I don't look it, but I know I don't. But old school, when you fought. Right, Charles? I mean, act like you don't know what I'm talking about, but you know what I'm talking about. Amen. I know you men know, you know, now they booping and doing and cutting, you know, jumping off, and they got guns. Turn that boop-a-boop-a-boop, all that mess off. Lay your gun down and let me put a country boy whooping on you. Amen? You ain't been whooped till you been booped. Right? Right, Bob? Amen. I seen you amen about it. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I'm talking about fighting ain't fair. and your heart's right, and you're trying to do what's right, and it gets ripped out from you and thrown in the ground, and it's not fair. Courage stands up and says it's okay, because we're going to be stable. We're not going to be depressed, because I'm going to tell you something. When you're going through difficult times, what's the first thing comes knocking on your door? Depression. Amen. Depression is a real deal now. People make fun of it. Oh, just get over it. Have you ever been through those times you just couldn't get over it? Oh, you just need to let that go. If somebody says that to you, you need to let them go. Amen. Because they're not sensitive to where you're at. Aren't you glad that God didn't come to you and say, why don't you just get over it? Amen. All this stuff I got going on, and you're going to talk to me about that. Just get over it. Aren't you glad that God is touched with our infirmities? He knows where we're at. He's hurting like we're hurting. And he'll sit right down with you and minister to you. Courage to stand. Courage to stand. Courage to stand. I know you've been tempted. Let me close with this thing here. As you read on in that story, David looks at this guy and he says, what are you doing with this crown and this bracelet? Boy, I feel the anointing of God up here. That crown came on David from God. I mean, Saul from God. Because at one time, he was anointed of God. I mean, how many of you know that? And God said, I'm not touching God's anointing. I'm not going to do it. I want to tell you what you got to do. You got to draw the line in the sand and say, I don't care how much they talk about me. I don't care how much they use me. I don't care what they do to me. I'm not going to lose the anointing of God in my life. Amen? And David says, what are you doing with this crown? Well, I just took it. What do you mean you took it? Did not you know he was the anointed of God? How dare you reach out there with your hands and just take it up like it's nothing? Well, I brought it to you. That's not the case. I want to tell you something, and this is for somebody. I feel it right here. You value the anointing in your life over everything else. And if the situation you're in means you got to give up the anointing, you get out of that situation you're in. Amen? If it means having this friend and relationship and give up the anointing, you get rid of that friend and relationship. Amen? Because nothing is more valuable. And David says, I am so upset with you, I could kill you. But I'm not going to do it. I am so upset. He turns to one of his guys. He said, I want you to slay him. And they killed that guy right there. He says, that's pretty drastic. Let me ask you a question. The place of pain you're in right now, is it drastic? As I've been praying, and I know a lot of you are going through stuff. I don't know who you are, but I know. God doesn't show me faith. I'm glad, because I don't want to know faces. But I do want to know your heart. I don't want a pastor that can't feel what I'm going through. Amen. And so when I pray for you, God leads me in these messages like this, because somebody's hurting in some way and you're just going through a lot of stuff. I want to tell you, nothing's worth losing that valuable anointing of God. Get your eyes back focused on Him. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet this morning. And I want you to take the hand of the one beside of you, because I don't know who this for, but I know it's for me. I'm going to tell you this, it's for me. Because there's a place of pain in my life, and maybe there's a place of pain in your life. But David said, I'm going to value the anointing, and I'm not going to lose the anointing. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Whatever you're going through right now, I pray that God will give you courage. Courage to stand. Courage to pay the price. And courage to serve. Serving through pain is some of the most effective ministry that you'll ever have. Because it's out of your pain that real ministry comes. Jesus prayed in the garden. He was so much pain. He said, Father, if there's another way, let's do it. But God said, there's no other way. So Jesus, through his pain, went to the cross and endured the cross for you and me. There's going to come times of endurement, because you're going to be tempted to quit. You're going to be tempted to have all these excuses and say, I can't go forward, I can't do this. But I want to tell you this, if God be for you, who can be against you? As we pray this morning, our first prayer is, Lord, give me courage. Lord, give me courage to stand and to deal with what I'm dealing with. Lord, nobody knows the prices that I'm having to pay. Nobody knows the hurt. Nobody knows the hours of sleep that I have lost over this situation. And God, today, I give it to you. The prayer time this morning is going to be simply this. God wants you to give it to him. If you're here this morning and you're going through something just in your own heart right now, say, God, I give it to you. God, I give it to you. God, I give it to you. It's that simple. God, I give it to you. Now, God, I can't handle this by myself, so I need your courage. I need your courage to stand. I need that courage, God, because I don't feel like standing. I feel like laying down and quitting. But God, I need that courage to stand. Help me, oh God, this day. Father, we have been obedient to you this morning. We have shared your word today. And we pray, God, that you will encourage your people as they battle the battles of life, as they are hit with one thing and then it's another. And then after they get through that, it's something else. And sometimes before they can get through it, it's something else. And God, we don't understand why bad things happen to good people. But we know that you're a good God. And we know that you take care of us. And God, you care about us when we are hurting. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to say one thing this morning. This is for somebody. When you're hurting and you're going through desperate times, you're going to have a lot of emotions and a lot of feelings. And one of the feelings is going to come that God doesn't really care what you got to say. You're going through have you ever been going through something and it's bad enough to go through it, but then you got the accuser of the brethren? Well, if you hadn't made that decision, you wouldn't be, made you bad live in it. Amen. Well, don't you love encouragement like that? Well, I tell you what, if you didn't have such an attitude, if you weren't so hateful, I know y'all acting like y'all ain't never heard that. But you know what God is? He comes and he wraps his arms around you. And he says, I love you. Because I have found when I'm hurting the most, that's what I need the most. You know what? We all know when we mess up, don't we? We all know. You ain't got to tell me. I know. And we all know when we mess up more than one time. But God says, my love is greater than what you're going through. And I believe, God, here's what God says. I can love you enough that one day you'll love me more than you love that. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? How many of you don't do things today that you used to do? Not because you're scared of getting caught or whatnot. That's not it. You just don't want to. Amen. You know why you want to ain't there? Because God has replaced it with something else. He loves you this morning. I don't know who this is for today, but take his word and go forward. Because God is moving Northview and all of us in it forward. And I promise you, there's coming something to keep you back. But I'm going to leave you with this. I promise. This is my last time, I promise. God is not a monument. He's a movement. He spoke that to me this week. I thought, what does that mean? See, I'm a little slow. Amen. God said, I'm not a monument. I'm not a stone that you worship and say, well, God, you used to do that, and you used to do that, and you used to do that. He said, I am a movement. I am just as real today as I was 20 years ago. And I am still God today as I was 20 years ago. And when I touched you 20 years ago, I can touch you today because I'm still God. My power is not slack. My power is not short. I'm not old. And I'm not worthless. I am God. Amen. He's God. I better hush. God bless you. Love you. Amen.